I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
No more mocks. This is a real deal. Want to talk about the draft? Call, text, or tweet us. Now, NFL Draft Central on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Presented by Fiegel & Carr, your border attorneys, and brought to you by Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case.
For Eastern, Sal Capaccio on the line with us, the West Her Hotline, 4 hours from the draft. Sal, by the way, you're at the stadium, right?
Yes, I am.
By the way, have you heard like what they're going to do about the weather in Nashville? Like they have this whole big outdoor scene for the draft, but apparently it's supposed to rain. So I heard this morning that they might move to an arena. I don't know what the latest is on that, though.
Not the arena. It's a... some sort of theater, I think. Like, I don't know exactly. I don't know like how big it is, but it's some sort of theater. I believe that they have something staged already in case they have to do that.
Okay, so that's still not. We don't know yet what might happen there.
That's right. No, it's a. They're going to wait to see, but you know, we still have a few hours here, so they'll probably wait until it's kind of like last minute thing before they tell people they have to go inside or something. I don't know.
Everybody run down the street.
What a thing! What a thing to have a backup plan for. Like, on that scale. Like, that stage, I've been seeing pictures of it all week. I mean, it's massive, that thing that's at the end of Broadway in Nashville. I mean, it's such a huge setup. And to like, obviously, it won't be as big in a theater. You know, they used to have the draft in Radio City Music Hall when it was in New York, right? So it wouldn't be as big, probably. But to have two versions of that setup for TV and all the teams and all the stuff. Like, I mean, that's just a lot of stuff, man.
No doubt about it. And I was thinking the same thing on the grand scale. Like, do you already have something set up? Hey, we got to move you down there. Hey, by the way, look at this. We already knew we'd be here. Or is it, all right, we got to do this, like, to put together two stages, basically? I guess you'd have to.
All right, Sal. So we're getting close here. Let me just ask you in general what you're hearing or what you're feeling about tonight, and then we'll get into some specifics.
Well, I do think the Bills, you know, would love to trade down still. I've always thought that. I think that they're open to doing that unless there's a guy or two they really like that starts falling, that they have graded as a top four or five prospect on their board, and he gets to number nine. Then it would have to be, you know, something like that for them to say, nope, we're not doing it. I think you'll wait to do it till you're on the clock. You wait to see how it falls. There's a lot of talk about teams wanting to move up, but also teams moving down. So you hope that one of those other teams above you can't move down and somebody else wants to come up. I'm for the Bills moving down, but, you know, there are good players here. And I just did a mock draft for a radio station in Portland, our sister station, 1080 The Fan out there. And it was interesting to me because, like, Quinnen Williams went number two after Murray, and then Haskins went in the top 10. He went six. Hockenson, and then the person for Detroit who picked, a reporter for a TV station, went with Devin Bush. And I'm like, okay, well, that's new. That's different. So I went with Ed Oliver for the Bills because, to me, if you're sitting there at nine, Ed Oliver's there, you might not want to trade down because I think he's the type of player that you might stay there for.
Yeah. Devin Bush, Michigan, inside linebacker from Michigan. That's who that is. The... okay, well, I mean, Oliver, we talked about this yesterday, maybe, like, just been watching the odds on him, and the betting line on him is top eight picks, and it's heavily likely he goes in the top eight.
Right, but so, he for me, is the guy that, when we talked about trading ahead of time, that I wouldn't want to get out of nine just in case he falls to me. Like, I wouldn't want to trade out ahead of time, because if I did that and got down to 15 and then Ed Oliver, for some reason, is still there, I'm like, oh, man. I could have just done that. I mean, that would have been my preference. So
just don't trade up, Sal. Like, Jason Lockenfor is saying that two GMs have told him he thinks the Bills might trade up to three. Does that, when you saw that, could you actually see that happening?
Boy, I mean, he is the type of player that I think that they could talk themselves into trading up for. I hope they don't do it, but he is a fantastic football player. And like you guys, I've told you, I've said this, I think he's the best player in the draft. So, like, if you get him at number three, I mean, you're getting the top guy at number three. But I just don't like the philosophy of it, especially for a defense that rotates defensive linemen, you know. But and especially also on top of that, a defense that I trust this coach to be able to run a good defense. And you don't have to have the best players necessarily. I think he can make things happen with guys who aren't the elite guys and can really kind of do some things and keep you in ball games and stuff like that. So I trust, you know, what they're doing. I don't think they have to have that type of player, and especially what it would cost. You go from 9 to 3. I mean, guys, they went from 9 to 4 in 2014, and it cost them a first rounder next year.
Right.
So I don't want to know what it's going to cost to get to 3 because I don't want to do that.
It's 900-ish points on that Jimmy Johnson chart, which is the middle of the first round tonight. You know, next year's first is worth less than that.
Yeah, it would be, to me, like, miraculous if they got to that they moved from 9 to 3 without giving up next year's one. I mean, I don't know any other way that they could make that happen. So, like, I'm also not for it. The rotation point, I think, is a good one, Sal. Like, we've talked about that even at 9 when we've talked about Ed Oliver even going back a few weeks here. Like, is that a wise investment if you're going to rotate guys? You know, if you're going to draft a guy that high and he's going to play 55% of the snaps, are you maxing out on that investment?
Right. I agree with you. And it's kind of I don't know. It's, again, a situation where you're getting an impact player, a guy you can put on your team right away. He might start for you this year, right? But you also have other guys who are going to, you know, pretty be on the field at different times and do different things for you. So I get caught between, you know, the philosophy of having a player like that, you know, in picking him even in the top 10 without trading is what I'm trying to say, right?
Right,
like,
right.
Like even at Oliver, I think he's a great player, but I even at 9, I think about in the top 10, do I want a guy that's going to play 60% of the snaps? Guys, Kyle Williams played 65%, and that was the most on the Bills. The next best guy, I believe, Star Lotulelei, was just under 50% last year at the defensive tackle spot.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, what's the argument to do it? You get a guy that's so good that you can't keep him off the field, right? You want to have him out there, you know, more than that, 75, 80% of the time, but you know, if philosophically you've grown to believe that that's not the way to maximize performance, is it's just asking too much out of someone of that body type, that size, then, you know, it might not make a lot of sense. I don't know, man.
And it is a demanding position, by the way. It
right.
is a demanding position. You're going to get beat on a little bit. You know, that's why teams do rotate. The Bills aren't the only team. Like,
right.
a lot of teams rotate guys. The Bills might just be a little bit more heavy in their rotation. And the reason is it's a demanding position. You're going to get beat on. And these are big guys. These aren't guys like wide receivers with that body who are running down the field and coming back and running down the field again.
With Sal Capaccio, draft day, 8 o'clock tonight. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This draft you did in Portland that you were talking about and you tweeted mm-hmm. this list. If the guy with the Lions picks Oliver, what do? You don't pick Devin Bush.
It was a woman, by the way, just so you know.
Oh,
she picked.
Okay.
Yep, no problem. Just wanted to let you know to give her credit. Jennifer was her name. And if they pick
Oliver,
I would have picked Christian Wilkins. After everything we just said, I just think that I'm trying to do what the Bills are going to do, right?
Yep.
I try to put myself in the Bills' position. That's why. If that happens, Hockenson's gone. And Oliver's gone, I'm going to go with Christian Wilkins
because I think
that's what they would do.
There's got to be a trade there somewhere, right? Like by then, I mean, that's not – you can't do that in an exercise like this. But Washington at 15 or – although Haskins is taken here. What did you think of that one? The Giants taking him.
I think that's super interesting. I do think the Giants take a quarterback. I don't think it's at 6. I think it's at 17.
As long as they are confident that they can do that – and if they have a strong preference about which one, they have to be really careful. So I don't think it would be that hard if you're that team to talk yourself into, why don't we just do this at 6? I mean, maybe there is one of these defensive studs. There probably is. But
yeah.
how do you sort out if Washington's for real and maybe there's another team, the Bengals? Like,
right.
What are you hoping for at 17? I think I want to ask that.
All right, so, and here's a good question, and I think what you just said is right. Why not just do it? Because I think then you have to ask yourself, if I think a guy is a good enough quarterback to be a franchise quarterback to take him in the first round. You take a quarterback in the first round because you think he's a franchise quarterback, right? But then you're suddenly saying he's not good enough to take it number six. Then right. Is he really good enough to be a franchise quarterback? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. So, yeah, I think this guy's a good. He's good enough to take in the first round because we think he's a franchise quarterback. Oh, but I don't want to take him at six. He's not that good.
Yeah, like I don't know.
The Bills did that with Manuel. I mean, they didn't have two picks, but they traded down from 8 to 16. Was it to draft EJ?
But they almost knew. There was nothing to worry about with him going.
Right.
Like, they could have traded down three more times and drafted EJ.
Yeah, the Giants would be risking it on top of all that.
Right. Very risky. I mean, I to some extent, you've got to believe the reporting and the speculation. Like, some of it's legitimate.
Yeah.
And I just think those teams I mentioned are, it's totally reasonable to think that they're in the quarterback market.
It's so good. Like, best scenario for me going home tonight, Sal, at 8, you know, the draft starts, and someone trades with the Jets to get a quarterback, and then the Giants take a quarterback, and this includes Murray going one overall. Like, that's all happening, and the Bills are just sitting there going, come to me at 9. Who, you know, your name here, Ed Oliver, Edge guy, like, Alan. Whatever it is. Yeah, right, just sitting there going, yeah, everybody go ahead. Move on up and take quarterbacks. Go nuts.
Okay, so now, Bulldog, if that happens, but if that happens now Quinnen Williams gets to 6, right? I mean, ooh, like now you start having a conversation. What do we have to give up to get to 6 to get the best player in the draft? If that's who you have as the best player in the draft, which I would. Like, what? Well, now we're not talking 3. We're talking from 9 to 6. Now it might only cost you like a 5th rounder. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. So now I could talk myself into that and say, okay, now it's worth it.
Hopefully these people, these GMs telling Jason Lockenfora, if you believe him, and I will choose to, that they're hearing that the Bills could trade up to 3, are hearing that only because of the Bills' dubious draft history, not because they actually know or think Brandon Bean is ready to do that. I mean, that would just be incredible. If they did that. But, you know,
and let me say this, Mike, if I can.
I'm hearing how good Williams is, by the way. I'm hearing you on that.
Yeah, thank you. And I do think he's that good. But here's the thing. The other part of this is you just asked me if, let's say, Oliver goes there. Well, maybe I start thinking about an offensive lineman. Maybe I start thinking about Andre Dillard. Maybe I start thinking about Jonah Williams. And maybe I think start thinking about Noah Fant. Like, maybe he's the tight end. It's not T.J. Hockenson. You know, Noah Fant is the better, is the higher ceiling wide receiver, faster, can stretch the field. So maybe I start thinking in that realm that, you know what, I can still help my offense here with these guys on the board.
I think Jacksonville at 7 is also a trade candidate. I'm not studying Jacksonville, but I just think of them maybe superficially that they would not draft defense, and this is a year to draft defense. So they're an offensive lineman for me, and maybe they, and maybe this is going to be the same way with the Bills. Maybe they're in a place where they can go, yeah, we can do what we want at 14 or 15 and as at 7 and get even maybe a first-round pick next year for the you know, trouble.
So I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are a prime candidate to take T.J. Hockenson.
You know, you think that this reporter in the Portland thing you did is going to be right then?
Well, I'll say this. I will have my final mock out after I'm done with you guys. I'm writing some stuff up. Before 5 o'clock, I should have it out. And I'll just spoil it. I already had T.J. Hockenson going to Jacksonville before that mock draft happened.
Do you have, like, intel on that? Or what? Because I can see why they would think that player and that position are the right idea. Is there more?
Well, that's part of what I'm matching it up with is who's running that organization, and you know what their philosophy is, meaning Tom Coughlin, meaning Doug Marrone, how they believe a tight end would obviously help them. This is not a team that's going to be spreading it out and throwing it all over the place. But at the same time, they just signed Nick Foles, who has had good tight ends in Philadelphia, who I think were very important to him and what they did. And even though they probably want a tackle, I don't. The reports were earlier today that Juwan Taylor might have some sort of knee issue. He could be slipping a little bit. As I was reading and digging deeper into that hole, I read somebody, I can't remember who it is off the top of my head, said, yeah, they weren't really considering him anyway. I don't know how viable that is, but all those things kind of added up to me to say, you know what, I could see T.J. Hockenson in this spot.
Any bongs today yet?
Not from me.
Yeah, not, I didn't mean in the press room. Just
right.
like,
no, that, okay. Yeah, is there any? Yeah, I know things have gotten a lot looser on that front, but I wouldn't expect. You know,
got, they have, haven't they?
Yeah,
they're going in that direction.
Yeah, definitely going in that direction. But I don't think you're going to get that in the press room. No, I don't think that happened.
No, what about some Montez Sweat report now? Ooh, suddenly he's all right, right?
He's
Montez
okay. Sweat, yeah.
They misdiagnosed it,
and
Jawan Taylor's knee pushes him down the board. So we're getting a lot of different kinds of things today.
Everybody's right. working hard today,
right?
Yeah.
What would be? Have you thought? I don't know how soon you heard about this lock on for a. You know, hearing from two GMs that the Bills
I saw it.
Would move. How much time have you spent thinking about it? Like this is going to end up coming out really probably more contrived than is advisable for the radio because it's just coming to mind as I'm sitting here and I'm going to spit it out. Like, who's motivated to tell Lock-On Four of that? Like, other than people who really believe it or know it. Like, is there some advantage to be gained by the Bills from getting it out there that they're willing to move up to three? Does that increase the likelihood that a team that wants to draft a quarterback, like we just said, goes, the Jets are willing to move down. We got to talk to them because 4, 5, and 6 don't want to move down. And if we want to get our guy, we got to beat the Bills to the Jets pick. Like, is that a thing?
Well, the first thing I thought of when I heard it is, would the New York Jets really trade with their division rival to allow them to go to number three to take the player they covet? Like, I just don't – again, let's go back. We had this discussion about the Dolphins and the Bills. Right. I'm kind of old school in that regard. I just think you don't do that, and it costs you a lot more. So why would the Jets even do that with the Bills? So from that point, I kind of dismiss it. But let's just say they were willing to do it. Sure, I think the Bills could kind of float that out there to see. Maybe they were enticing other teams to come up and do some things. I'm not really sure. You know, I think Jason LaCanfora has an interesting history when it comes to reporting on the Buffalo Bills, and even some of us talked about that in the media room here when it mm-hmm. happened. But one of the things I pointed out was he's not saying he's getting it from a Bills source. He's saying he's getting it from other sources. So I don't think that's the same thing necessarily. So
right.
I don't know where that could possibly come from, except, you know, and the other thing could be happening is the Bills could very well be calling teams above them with really no intention to trade, but make it look like they have an intention to trade.
That's right. Give Bean the benefit of the doubt here, and this is where you end
up.
He's making every phone call. And
that's right.
The Jet guy could be a source. The Jet guy is talking to other teams. Like, well, this is something we've discussed. And, you know, if the Jets wanted a seventh, then you do it. But they probably don't. They probably don't want pennies for that. So this speculation doesn't include what we all assume what the rest of the trade would be using that chart, but it doesn't include that. So, you know, you want that from Bean. You want him calling everybody.
Because the bottom line is, if someone else goes up there, it's good for him, Bean, provided they go for quarterbacks, like we just said, right? So that there mm-hmm. could be that's motivation. That's not that contrived, actually, now that we've sounded it out here. That's not crazy. You know, whether somebody bites on it, maybe that's the crazier part. But the Bills thinking it's, you know, it's definitely helpful to them if two teams want to get ahead of them to draft quarterbacks.
No doubt. The more quarterbacks that go before the Bills, the better it is for them, A, because better players will be available to them at 9, and B, because suddenly their number 9 spot becomes more enticing to others because of better players being available.
Right.
All right, Sal. You going to just sit there all day?
Some friends here I can talk to.
He's going
to
finish off this mock draft.
Do you get to use the training area? Like, can you run run around on the track or anything?
No, I can't do that. That'd be amazing. It is beautiful, though. It really is. They got the construction out here, and they're doing that. But I've seen it because we walked through for the voluntary workout. So we walked down that hallway, and it is fantastic. It's beautiful. It's a really, really nice facility. But you know what? It is warm out, and the way the media room is set up, I always sit. We don't have assigned seats, but nobody, you know, you ever like, it's like kind of going to class, right?
Yeah,
you don't have an assigned seat, but you always sit in the same seat, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I've been in that same seat for years now, and my seat happens to be right next to the door, which leads right outside. And a lot of times that door is propped open, and in the winter it's not fun, and we try to keep it closed. But a day like today, I'm like, keep that puppy open, baby, because it's nice out there.
You have like Sorry or Monopoly, anything like any board games? In there, is there like a stack of board games on a shelf? No.
We should play Pigskin Vegas. You ever play Pigskin Vegas, Mike, back in the day?
No.
I don't know what this is.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know Pigskin Vegas.
When I was in like middle school and high school, they had this like betting game. It was a board game. And I remember watching Super Bowl 20 and the Patriots and Bears, and I'm only 12 years old, and we're playing Pigskin Vegas, and you could bet on, like, I think the next commercial will be a car commercial. I think the next play will be a run play, and you had little chips, and you could put them around the board and do things.
That sounds great.
It was really cool.
There are a lot of places
I don't
I would
know how
go.
Cool it would be for parents to allow 12-year-olds to do it like mine, but
right,
it was cool.
Right, yeah.
There are places I would never go to that if they had Pigskin Vegas, I would go to them and right. play Pigskin Vegas there.
See?
Yeah. I know people do that without the board game at the Super Bowl, like betting on
That's
the commercials
right.
and all that. Yeah, right, for sure. Yep. All right.
I am walking Pigskin Vegas.
Right. Yeah, no, your party, you had
We
sheets.
Had Gambletron.
Yeah, Gambletron, whatever that was called.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. Right. The winning pick was that Jeremy correctly predicted that my daughter would not cry during the first half of the Super Bowl. And he was right. I bet against it. I thought she would cry about something. This was the New England-Seattle game. Sal, I think you were there too, right?
Yes.
I thought she would cry over something. And then by the 2-minute warning, I was trying to make her cry.
Right.
Just so I could win, but it did not. She was too strong.
Wow.
She did not. She doesn't cry around other people.
Right.
Just us. Just when it's just us at home, that's when things can get interesting. All right, Sal, we'll talk at 6 if you're free.
I'll be free. Thanks, guys.
All right, Sal's appearance with us on the Western Hotline is sponsored by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Tiny movement at the Bet Online first overall odds.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'll tell you in a minute. Tiny movement. Maybe there'll be more. Sometimes that's how you could just start tiny and then I'll tell you what it is after the update. 803-0550. The draft is tonight. We're talking about that, of course. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
As this draft is, and I'd be shocked if there'd be somebody. We're at 17. I'd be very surprised if there was someone there I didn't like. No, I didn't say quote. Could be. Could be a corner. Could be a wide receiver. You know, could be a sports writer. You never know.
Dave Gettleman, there he is. The streak continues of our playing him at least once.
I wish he played for the Sabres.
Or coached the Sabres.
Because I'd always know it's him. I got him on lockdown now.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, next year's another year.
What team, what school, rather, what college has had the most first-round picks ever? And who's second? And a clue, potentially, is that it's possible tonight the second-place team could catch the first-place team. School, I'm saying team.
Okay. Alabama is second, and they could catch the first-place team. The first-place team is Ohio State.
Joe, want to try?
I'm not going to lie. That's exactly what I was going to guess. Alabama 2, Ohio State first.
Ohio State is 2. Alabama is 5.
Oof.
This is actually, maybe you'll want to change your answer. I've actually told you already, but since 1996 is what I'm doing.
Oh, here. Yeah. Clemson.
No. Since 1996, one school has had 81 first-round picks, another 79, and then a third is 68. Ohio State is 79, and it's expected they will have two. Bosa is obvious.
Right.
Haskins is, I would say, probable. And then, I don't know about a third one. That could be it.
I've seen some people mock the receiver Campbell in the first round, but no, I don't think he's expected to.
I think that would, yeah, that's unlikely, but possible.
How's Florida State here?
Ninth?
Oof. Oklahoma?
Tenth?
Georgia?
Michigan?
Michigan 7th. I don't see Georgia.
Wow.
No, USC.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
USC, 81 first-round picks since 96. Ohio State, 79. Notre Dame, 68. Then Miami.
Wow.
I'm guessing a lot of those were early 2000s.
USC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, sure.
Kind of stink
like Leinert Bush.
Right, yeah. Same.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Notre Dame. Same. They're revered and respected, but they're not like a power hardly anymore. It's not like these SEC teams.
Right. I'm thinking USC must have had a hell of a lead at one point a few years ago.
You know, the I just closed it, but All right, if you go to Michael Lopez's Twitter, he retweeted it. It's from a league, a branch of the NFL, and they tweeted a year-by-year bar chart, so you can see every year what the score was.
Oh, wow, okay.
Find out.
Yeah, yeah, all right. Yeah, I'm like Joe. I would guess USC was from 96 to 2003. I'll bet they crushed it. But this is a guess. I mean, whatever. I was all over the road on that. Georgia's not even listed.
I'm not good at this anymore. I would have been good at that, like players and schools in the draft in my 20s. I would have been really good at that. Now, like, I'd have a hard time naming any more USC guys than I did. Like, it just would be, yeah. Almost every defensive player in the league, I just don't remember where they went to college. Mm-hmm. I don't watch college football like I used to.
Yeah.
In my 20s, I watched everything. I mean, I was just up for watching every sport.
Yeah.
All day, every day, sports. But, you know, not anymore. So I don't know guys like I used
right.
to.
Right. I am sure that, you know, as life changes, I will college football has always been, for me, very dependent on just what else is going on in my life. You know, it's Saturdays in the fall. We work on Sundays in the fall. So Saturday is really it. That's the free day. And when the kids are, you know, so little that really, you know, you can amuse them with a paper airplane and a ball of tinfoil, like whatever. We stayed home a lot of those Saturdays. And I started, I remember saying, like, we've been together long enough for you to be, you know, here for all this. I started watching more college football between 2002 and like 2010. Mm-hmm. I was watching 3 college football games a day. I mean, I was just locked in. Like, that was my Saturday. And for like most Saturdays, some Saturdays there'd be stuff, but a lot of it was just we're home, we're hanging out, and, you know, the kids are taking naps or whatever. And like, I'm in. And then youth hockey started. And even then, it was still okay because that was only for a couple hours. And then we got to a level with the hockey where it's all day and it's trips, it's 5-hour trips. And it's just so, that's it. So for the last couple years, college football's been, it's been rare for me to sit on a Saturday and just be in front of it like I was when the kids were toddlers, say. Eventually, those Saturdays will come back and present themselves as available to me, and I'll look forward to that because I do like just sort of camping out and watching college football. I, you know, for all the, you know, messiness that there is within football, you know, the rules and the danger and the corruption in college and whatever, like, as a product, I just love watching it. I love watching college football, but it's just a thing that I have to have. I got to have 6 hours on a Saturday, and that gets pretty rare.
Yeah, like a lot of Saturdays now are driving kids to sports.
Right.
So it's tough to do that. I mentioned before the update that there was a slight tick in the odds of the number one overall pick. The favorite remains Kyler Murray, -500 at Bet Online, so it'd cost you $5 to win a dollar on Kyler Murray being the first overall pick. I thought about it, of course,
mm-hmm.
but didn't play it because I just thought the price was right, or just like I didn't want to take that particular chance. It would have been like $40 to win 10.
Yeah,
and I just didn't want to take that chance.
I'm almost never doing that. You know, if I'm 90% sure the thing is going to happen, I'm like, I don't know.
I did do a couple of those though, and I will tell you what they are.
Okay,
but I don't like it either. The second choice was Bosa to be the number one overall pick, +400, and then Quentin Williams at +500. So, you know, decent underdog prices.
Right. And we did just have in the sports update there that the Cardinals GM, it's reported, has reached out to Quinnen Williams to let him know he's still in play.
Yep. And there are a couple of reporters or bloggers who are still out there saying, my guess is Williams for Arizona. Like, it's not unanimous that it won't be or that it will be Kyler Murray. So it's the Bosa and Williams numbers have just ticked a little bit toward each other. But nothing significant. Williams is +475, not +500. Bosa is +425, not +400. It would seem that if you're not going to pick Murray, you would pick Williams at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Or there could be a trade, and it's the team that wants Bosa getting him at one, and then Arizona trades down to whatever. Like,
right.
We could have that. So that's what that is.
All right.
Which I'll tell you the couple that I did that are sort of like favorite bets.
Yeah.
Rashawn Gary selected ninth or earlier. No, minus 400.
Yeah, I like no there for sure.
I'm not sure that's even up there anymore.
Yeah. It's not
up there anymore.
I recall like someone we talked to was just sort of really scary about him to me. Like, doesn't have, there's just not a lot that you like in today's edge guys. He doesn't have a bend, I guess they call it, right? Like coming around the, like Von Miller gets almost like his body's almost parallel to the ground, like mm-hmm. that lean that coming around the edge.
That's how I am when I am falling to the ground.
Right, right.
The moment before I hit the ground.
Right. Yeah, my bend.
That's my bend.
I get to like a 30 degree angle and I'm going down. At this point, I'm too top heavy. My legs are weak. I can't handle it. So I got no bend. I like that bet a lot.
So there's that one, and that's not even up there anymore. I also have Montez Sweat, eighth or earlier. No, same odds.
Okay.
Minus 400. And that one's not up there anymore. See, I'm having this thing with this site. Like, wherever I touch anything, they take it down or change it.
Well, those two guys were the guys. Those two guys were the guys with the injury concerns in the last 2 days or so.
Yep.
And the Sweat thing has now been somewhat refuted today as a mixed diagnosis at the combine. But Gary's the one with the shoulder thing that sounds like Shaq Lawson.
So would you pick him now?
Sweat? Sure.
You would?
Yeah.
How about that guy? How about this guy, Joe? He's like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll take that chance.
The lining of his heart is fine, I read.
Well,
I mean,
what more do you need to know?
How much more of an endorsement do I need?
That's right.
I'm in.
Metcalf, by the way, speaking of, Joe is in, by the way,
I'm
also.
In. I'm
okay.
In. I like it.
Metcalf, the odds have changed on him. Like, what I got him on was first, will a receiver be drafted in the top 15? No. Will Metcalf be picked in the top 18? No. And the Metcalf is now just not even listed is another one that, like, now I guess everybody is expecting that he will not be picked in the top 18 picks. That's interesting. Sal tweeted about how he found three mock drafts where Metcalf wasn't in the first round at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bet Marquise Brown at even money to be the first wide receiver selected, Hollywood Brown.
Okay.
And that was taken down and then put back up with the odds different, and now Brown is the favorite to be the first wide receiver drafted. Now it's like minus 200 to get that. So for timing, like I've had good timing on everything.
Good job getting in on that, right.
I haven't been against the wind in any of them. Drew Lock, I have Drew Lock picked 10th or earlier, no. And now there's that report about the Giants being into him, which makes me a little nervous on that one.
Although they do have 17, too, so you don't really know where they like that idea.
Yeah, I mean, one thing about tonight, if this needs to be said, one thing about tonight is just, however, whatever goes into it, some of it honest and some of it is probably not, it works.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we have just no idea what's coming. It works. There could be trades all over the place. Or not. Like, it doesn't matter ultimately,
right?
Because it's gonna you think it's possible that there will be these trades, and that's right. Enough.
There could be three quarterbacks in the top 10. There could be one. I don't think there's any way there will be none.
There'll be Murray,
right?
Yeah. So I mean, it works. What,
for sure?
Top 10,
Murray
for sure.
Yeah, it's not
top four. My house says he's top four.
If Arizona passes on him, which probably won't happen, but could, who takes him?
Oakland.
Because I got these old school. Oakland would be right. That's right. I'm not thinking about
four.
Oakland. I guess I forgot about them. Because I'm thinking more about like Denver and the Giants and these old school football guys. Like, he's 5'8". I don't want him.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's
no.
Right. Oakland.
I think the Raiders. But if the Raiders have, you could be right. If the Raiders have another idea, Ed Oliver, right? Something just. You don't know. That's what the Raider vibe has kind of been. You wait till you see what we do.
Right.
Then yeah. But that's a good point. Like if other teams that want quarterbacks might not necessarily want him. They might be against him. for whatever for those reasons. That's right. Well, it works. I mean, it is just who knows what's coming. We'll talk about the Bills more specifically here after the break. 803-0550. Sal comes back on at 6. We'll have wide open to talk to take calls and to talk to each other here about what we hear and what we expect to have happen tonight or just want. That's fine, too. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
All right, well, get a load of this deal of the day today. We got a chance for you to double your dollars, $24 to be exact, for just $12 to use at Alley Oop's Barbecue Restaurant. It is today's deal of the day from My Buffalo Perks. Details at mybuffaloperks.com.
I'll guess that the Bills draft an offensive lineman tonight. I'll guess that they trade down. I want to give Bean some benefit of the doubt for this Jet rumor that, like, I just would dread that. I hope that he's just, that's just him making all the calls. And maybe he's convinced the Jets that he would really do that, or the Jets took the possibility seriously enough, and, you know, it was, they would think it's to their benefit for other teams to know, to know about the Bills conversation, and maybe that gets other teams interested, all of it. But that the Bills wouldn't really do that. It wouldn't really trade up to 3. So with the options in the defensive line, that includes Christian Wilkins, the depth there, and with the offensive tackles, the 3 offensive tackles, I think in either case, they could move down a half dozen spots-ish and feel good. And what happened with Tre'Davious White, if this matters, is Sean McDermott, at least, was not beholden to the any one guy. Like, he didn't need Lattimore that night. He was willing to move down and take Tre'Davious White, which has been fine. So I want to just kind of think, I want to be hopeful about this. And if it's a tackle, it's a tackle. It's going to be offensive line or defensive line, I think, probably one of the two. And in either case, you can trade down and get there.
I have, like, I don't know, three thoughts. One is what I hope they would do, which is draft the tight end Hockenson. I've wanted them to be the team that thinks that's a good idea all along. I doubt that they are, but I would love it if they were. So, like, I hope they do that. I don't think they're going to. So that'd be my outcome number one would be that. Outcome number two is an edge guy. I don't want to move. I'm all right if they don't move down. I definitely don't want to move up to make it happen. But I think they really need an edge guy. And then I'm to the tackle. And I also think it's – either of those to me, I can't decide. I would guess that they love the Alabama offensive tackle, Williams, and would, like, run up – what do they say? Run up there with the card at 9 when they get on the clock if he's there. I think I would prefer the edge guy to that myself. But I could see them just loving that player specifically.
We have 2 players in this draft that'll go fairly early, or very early in one case, from Alabama that are linemen named Williams. The most fun idea would be for the Bills to draft Josh Allen for the 2nd straight year.
Right.
That's clearly the most fun possibility. 803-0550 for your predictions and hopes and dreams and fears, whatever. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.